His first theory is very much one that's based on human reproduction and gestation, that what we see is some sort of reproductive process going on. And he starts looking at domesticated animals and plants, and he thinks that's a good place because a lot of people in the domestication world, in the breeding world, have studied this problem of reproduction and how it occurs, and maybe species is some sort of extension of that. Then he is also doing a bunch of other work at the same time. He becomes very interested in how his theories of species might apply to problems of human existence. He's interested in the problems that people have written treatises on population and how population occurs and expansion occurs. And as part of this process, he reads Thomas Malthus's great essay on population from the late 18th century. This is a real classic of political economy or economic thinking in that period. Malthus had argued that the food supply would actually increase just arithmetically. In other words, it would, you know, each time it would add up a certain amount. But whereas population increases geometrically, in other words, it was by the square. And that meant that really quite quickly you were going to get to a situation where the number of mouths vastly exceeded the amount of food that they could actually eat. And so death was an incredibly powerful force within the living world. And what Darwin does when after he reads Malthus is he suddenly has a great realization. The problem isn't the problem of the gestation or coming into being of new life. It's the whole issue of death. It's the fact that most animals and plants that are born are not going to survive. And this provides an incredible kind of cutting through. It means that effectively the tiniest little difference, the tiniest advantage that one newborn would have over another would mean that they would be the one to survive, because the competition is just so fierce. If hundreds of thousands come into being and only, you know, 20 or 30, as happens in some insects, are going to survive, it means that, you know, those need to be well adapted, and any that are weak in any way are going to be go to the wall. And so Darwin formulates what initially it's a theory of wedging. He imagines the force of 100,000 wedges smashing into the face of nature, and the weaker dropping away, and only the sharpest, the best form wedges surviving. This is such a violent and difficult image in some ways that in the years and months after this, he reformulates it. He thinks about it in really towards the end of that year as what he calls natural selection. And this is the idea that in some sense, it's akin to what the breeder does. The breeder throws away the weak of the litter and saves the ones that are good. And this kind of selecting process is what makes nature actually work, because those ones that are survived with those better characteristics will go on to breed and produce new offspring, and those will be passed on to the next generation. And through that process, infinitely extended over many, many generations, you'll get new species. And so Darwin's discovered here really quite a different sort of mechanism than most people have thought about before, and it's very radical in many ways. It's quite mechanical. It involves death and destruction at the center of it, and it involves ultimately the production of what he calls, you know, just this wonderful panoply of life on Earth in this great complexity. And that's the core of what Darwin comes up when he talks about natural selection. And you have to remember, he's doing it as a young man in this big city. And these are dangerous ideas. These are not things that people feel very comfortable about, because the very idea that one species evolves into the next through some sort of reproductive process, through some sort of mechanical process like this, is something that could be linked to ideas that matter is alive, that somehow, you know, that matter is self-activating, and a rather dangerous kind of thing. It means that, for example, the divisions between different species, different peoples, are actually potentially arbitrary. They're just boundaries we've drawn. And so suddenly the world seems in confusion, and also the place of humans is in danger. Because what about us? If the whole theory comes out of discussing man, maybe we're just better animals, and our whole intelligence, our whole moral sense, everything about us is up for grabs. So thinking about evolution in the first place is very dangerous. Darwin's own theory is particularly problematic. And so Darwin basically keeps silent about this in all these publications out of the Beagle.